the 8 Pasuk Tes, Perik Ches, Pasuk Tes. Okay, here we go. V'hoy, it's going to be Bayoy Mahu. It's going to be Bayoy Mahu, page 360. Nu'um Hashem Elokim. So says Hashem, V'hevesi, I'm going to bring. Okay, V'hevesi, I'm going to bring Hashem Eshbatzorayim. The sun is going to set in midday. Okay, this is a very frightening expression. This Pasuk is used at Rahman Goswami. We hear about young people who die. This expression that's taken straight out of here, almost here in Perikhes, where they see Hashemesh bat Soharoyim, the sun sets in midday. The Hachashachti l'aretz b'yoyim ur, I'm going to bring darkness to the earth on a day of light. In other words, it sounds like there was great potential. There was great potential for there to be light, and suddenly.
Take it outside.
I'm going to bring darkness on a day of light. Pasuk Yud, V'yafachti Chagichem Leiv, I'm going to transform your festivals into days of mourning. V'chol Shirechem L'kina, all of your songs will be transformed into kina, to laments. V'ha'leisi, I'll call Mosnayim Sok, I will bring upon all of your loins sackcloth. I'll call Rosh Karcha. Okay, I'm going to bring on your head Karcha bald spots. Okay, time Chazal, time ancient times, the Goyim would rip out their hair. That was their custom. When a person died, a relative died, they would actually make bald spots. Does it mean, as out of an expression of frustration, and the Torah does not allow a Jew to do this. It seems, even though the Torah said it's forbidden, it seems it was done anyway. And I'm not sure what I mean, why, but that's what it says. About Kol Rosh Karcha, it says, Loisosima Karcha Bein Einechem Lemeis. It is forbidden to make a bald spot upon your head, mourning over the dead. And yet we find in many places with people in Chazal, in Tanakh, where it says exactly that, is that it's going to be death, there's going to be pain, and I'm going to, like this passage, the Alkol Rosh, every single head will be a karch, will be a bald spot.
That English expression,
but it's forbidden.
Right.
It's forbidden.
I was going to say, that's an English expression, not a
right.
Jewish
so it comes from the Torah. Right. Obviously, right. It comes from the Torah. This idea, and it's a very big mystery. If the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, so why does the Navi say that I'm going to punish you? There's going to be suffering, and the suffering is going to go to the degree where the Al Kol Roish Karcha, every single person will rip out their hair in mourning over the death of a relative. But the Torah does not allow you to do that. So even if
it's correct.
So you'll say by people anyway they were not following the Torah, so they did anyway. But how could the Navi, in the name of Hashem, say such a thing? How can the Navi? You're right. It may be that. Okay, now it doesn't. I don't know. It says that that's going to happen. It says it will happen. Maybe you're right. But okay, let's focus just on this pasuk over here. This pasuk over here says it's going to be a degree of mourning, and it will reach to the degree of Yal Kol Rosh Karcha. Every single person will rip out their hair over their head, and it all. No, it's a gezeiras hakasuf. I don't. You can say is that the time of is that the reason for the pasuk? The Torah does not give reasons. Only very very rarely does the Torah give a reason. And even when it gives a reason, it's not the only reason.
Would
yeah?
Like
I'm sorry?
You
cannot be masne al masha kosov b'toira. That you cannot go make a condition that you're going to do something that is against the law of the Torah. So it is a very big question. How can it be that the Navi is saying a terrible thing will happen, it's going to be tragedy, and the tragedy will reach the degree where every single citizen of the land will rip out the hair of their head and make a bald spot in mourning over the dead, when this is something which the Torah explicitly forbids one to do. And here it says, Al Kol Roish. So even though you'll say, maybe the Torah means to say is that, and it's not permitted, it's forbidden, and the people are not going to care what it says in the Torah. Anyways, Rav Meir said, they didn't learn Torah. Anyway, the people over here, the Aser Sashvatim, it appears, at least at face value, they were not observant. But still, for the Navi to say something in the name of Hashem, and Hashem explicitly told us that it's not permitted to do, there are other ways Hashem can say that you're gonna reach a terrible degree of mourning. Why did Hashem select this specific item, this specific action, which Hashem Himself forbids? I don't have a good answer.
It's and it's halachim, I mean, the monks, that's what they shave their heads.
Right, but we're not allowed to do that.
Right.
So the Torah says you're not allowed to do that. So if Hashem wants to describe, I'm going to punish you, I'm going to bring death and mourning and suffering, there are so many ways Hashem could bring out the point. Why did Hashem select this specific idea, which is forbidden, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow, to use as an example of the degree of mourning and tragedy that will befall the Jewish people? Why this? There are so many ways to describe the picture a scene of what it looks like. What does this mean? If y'all call Rosh Karucha, every single head, and you know, even like, it was interesting. Look back at in our own history. Look at the Holocaust. Look at the Crusades. Look at the Chmelnytsky massacres. Do we find that the survivors, they ripped out the hair of their head? Do we actually find them doing this?
No.
We find they were the mourning. The mourning is not even describable to describe the tragedy and the effect of what happened. But in our minds, we don't picture, we don't have records of Rachman al-Sun after the Holocaust, people were taking razors and cutting off their hair, making bald spots in their head. And not from the Crusades, not from other horrible tragedies. So why, what exactly does this mean? You've done Averos, I'm going to punish you, there's going to be tragedy. The Halesi al-Kol Mosnayim suck, all loins are going to wear sackcloth. Even that's something which we don't understand either. Who wears sackcloth today when they're in a state of mourning? Okay, today you see pictures, it's becoming a new thing now when they goyzer Yom Tzoyim. They go to the Kosel Hamaravi, so they have Haredim, they put on sackcloth. They actually, it's a business.
They make a demonstration,
exactly. So they actually manufacture today sackcloth just for the purpose of getting dressed in this material to protest, whatever they want to do, whatever. It's some type of... So this is something which requires understanding why, from all of the various forms of mourning, is this item specifically selected. I will set among the Jewish people an Evel Yachid. We had this many times. Evel means a singular mourning. A mourning that is unique. It's not comparable to anything you had in the past, anything in the future of Yachariso Kiyomar, and her end will be Kiyomar. These psukim here have been paralleled in other places. This is not the first time we had these expressions. These expressions are found in other places, and here it's very frightening how we find them all brought together in one location. Now let's take a look over here at the Mitzvah David, starting back in Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes in the Mitzvah David begins on page 360, it says, "Vehevesi, I will bring Ashkia es Hashemesh. I will cause it to Ashkia to set. Be'es tzoharoyim, midday, bizman tokva, at the time of its intensity. Ritzon elam abyesh yeshu behashkei v'shanon, at the time when you're living in tranquility, when they least expect it to happen. Tavay hatzar pisayim, it will happen suddenly." So here we have a very frightening description of the Shemesh is this Vehevesi HaShemesh Bat Soharayim, the setting of the sun midday. Because unfortunately this expression is used, Rachman Litzlan, we hear about this expression. We hear when Rachman Litzlan, a young person dies, they'll say that the sun set Bat Soharayim. The way the Mitzudos learns Pshat, how do we typically understand this, so we'll see in the other Mepharshim, means that potential. The person was in his prime. It was a situation where who knows what could have been had this person remained alive. Who knows how he could have changed the world, how much good and benefit he could have done for society. And look, the Shemesh that was Bat Soharaim in midday had so much more to produce. There's so much light that the sun had to produce. It set in midday. That is a typical way we understand this expression. But that's not the way the Metsudos David understands the expression. He learns it to mean suddenly, unexpected. The Metsudos David is not focusing at all on the loss of potential. That's a separate issue. His focus is the curse of a Hevesi, Hashemesh Bat Soharayim, is suddenness. And indeed, Rachman Litzlan, that's also a very, very, very tragic type of thing that we hear about every so often, Rachman Litzlan, where you don't necessarily focus on the loss of potential, where shock to deal with sudden tragedy. You never saw it coming. How do you deal with it? How does a person's mind grasp a situation where all of a sudden, from you wake up the next day, it's a whole new world? That is how the. And I think which one is worse? Which one is a greater? Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Which one is a greater? Tragedy to deal with? Does the mind have a greater time? I think the Metsudos shot is more on the mark. Because loss of potential, what else is new? Okay, loss of potential, Maisim B'chol Yom, there's a loss of potential. Everything is Baltashkas in this world. There's so much infinite potential, we all know goes down the drain. We're very used to that. But sudden tragedy is something which the mind cannot deal with.
So your reaction could be irrational, like pulling out your...
Okay, that's right. Okay, it seems pulling out here is something that is. I mean, people bite their nails, people pull out their hair, people do all straight. They mutilate themselves. We know this. We know that there are certain natural things that people. Why is it such a problem in society? Biting your nails and things like the nervousness and these types. I don't know. Whatever it is, what it is. I don't know, but he's focusing on a very frightening. Very, very frightening concept. Sudden loss, without any warning whatsoever. It is something which shakes up the person, and sometimes it's beyond repair. The mind is very delicate, and once the mind snaps, there's something in the mind that just snaps, it's very, very hard to put the pieces back together. This is the way the Metsudos David learns Shat in the Pasuk. His interpretation is much, I feel, is much deeper and is much more harsh than the common way this expression is used in society. We use it as an expression, a loss of great potential. A young person, what he had to offer, gone. It's tragic beyond words. But there's another interpretation is suddenness. The mind can be damaged in a moment with that type of situation.
Translate kisel rather than sudden, unexpected.
Okay, I mean it's the same thing. I mean
sudden.
I mean, are you expecting it to happen suddenly? I don't know. Kisel means unexpected. That's right. I think that's really what it means.
That's when it hits your heart. You didn't know.
Didn't see it coming. And it's true. It can really damage a person. No one should know from these things, but people who have experienced this, the damage is just...
It's traumatic.
It's traumatic. How do you repair the mind? It's not so simple. You can a broken arm, you go to a doctor, put it in a cast, or go to the hospital of special joint disease, was it called? They'll put it in a bionic man, can change all the person's joints. But the mind, when something gets out of sync in the mind, what do you do? Who's able to put the pieces back together? It's not so simple. Next. Then when it says, I'm going to bring darkness, the Metsudos stuff, it says, I'm going to bring darkness upon the earth. He says, there's nothing more than, we say, poetic repetition. Pasuk Yod, in the Metsudos, in exchange for joy on the festival, there will be mourning. Utmurash Ashira Yakina, and in exchange of song there will be lamentations. Veha Alei Siritzin Lema Vi Aleim Tzora Achakulam Yilbushu Sak Al Mosnehem. Everyone will get dressed in sackcloth. V'yikrichu karcha b'roshom heminim tzar ve'avelus. These are just examples of things they did in ancient times to mourn. V'samtia, I will set it. Who is it? I will set her. V'samtiha, I will set her. Osim adas Yisrael lihiyos misabeles k'derecha ve'avelus sho'isin al ben yachid shemes. He learns here in Evel Yachid. Evel Yachid is a very frightening expression, and he translates this on a Ben Yachid. That's really the worst. I mean, as soon as if you notice, he has a very dark picture of this pasuk. He interprets this pasuk in the darkest way possible. And he says an Evel Yachid means the mourning over the loss of an only child. Okay, can a person, Rachman, even wrap his head around what that means? Okay, if you want to translate it the way I translated it originally, that's a much lighter and unique. It's a unique type of tragedy. It's unique. There are different types of tragedies in this world. And, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. I don't mean in that expression, but I mean is that people get used to things. The Hashem gave the human being and the person the ability to get used to be sensitized. So when it's more of the same, it's a tragedy, and every tragedy is a tragedy, but a person already in his mind has seen this before, has been through the process. But when you have a situation where it's unique and has never been through something like this, that is that much more traumatic. But he goes even further, and he says not just that it's unique, he says that it doesn't mean it's unique, it means that it's the mourning over an only child. That, in my mind, is like, wow, that's really off the charts. That's a very, it's a different, yeah, there are two ways to translate the word so far. Evel Yachid is a unique type of mourning. This type of tragedy never happened before. Or it means, Yachid means a Ben Yachid, the loss of a person's only child. Okay, they're very different translations. It would appear that the second translation generally is worse. And the Mitsudos selected the more harsher interpretation, just like he selected the interpretation above, that the Shemesh setting in midday, a very harsh interpretation, suddenness, when it was unexpected. He has a very, very dark picture of the world that Mitsudos thought. Maybe he'll have to figure, we'll learn more about his life. Maybe, you know, his life experiences.
I know three people like that. They lost two families, they lost in the war. Then they got remarried, had a child, and that child one time was murdered, and one time was just killed in battle. And that was it. There was a second family.
Okay, these are things that I can't even hear. These are just horrors. It's can't even.
It destroyed them, literally.
How could you not?
One couple, basically, they split up, and they both went insane, practically. Mm. They started...
I remember years ago, I have a friend. He went to a doctor. He had a lot of different issues in life, a lot of problems. He went to the doctor. You know, and he was like a healthy mind. I mean, he seemed fine. And the doctor, this. And then the doctor says to him, I was very close to this person. He said to him, "You have to go to a psychologist." I said, "Why? I'm not here. I'm just here for. I'm going through your history. All of these issues. You have all of these things going on in your life. How in the world do you function? How do you function? You got to be crazy. How do you function with this? Even though it's like there's nothing, you have to go. You have to just go to talk to someone because a normal person, cannot survive living a life with all of these things going on in their life at the same time. And like, wow. And to me, I didn't expect a doctor would say that because this guy seemed very normal. You know, he's guy in yeshiva. I think he's whole story. And the doctor was from the outside, an insider, you're used to him, so you know you don't even think. But so from the outside and analyzes his life, what's going on, says, you're normal, how could you survive all this? What's going on in your family and going on in your health, going on in these other issues? Like you gotta go, you have to just go have a psychologist to talk to keep your mind healthy because life is difficult. Okay, this concludes over here. The parish of let's one more ki yomar, a bitter day. What's mar who yomisas ben yachid is going back l'shitasay ben yachid the kafal hadavar b'milay shaynais poetic repetition. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Test begins on the top, page 360. I'm going to present the sun goes in the midday. Kishiyeh yilchem sholem gadol tava yilchem mapala mapeles pisayim. He's learning like what the Mitzudos David said. When it says the sun sets in midday, it means suddenness, not referring to loss of potential. The other Rabbi saying is Zayam Shal Yoshiyo Shemes Bachayim Shal Shalom. What was it? It's incredible what he says over this, and this is very, very much relative to Tisha B'Av. The most important kinos, if you go to a good kinos where they explain the kinos, they'll always tell you what it says in the art scroll on the bottom. They'll always repeat and they'll say, Vayikoinen Yirmiyohu Al Yoshiyahu. They'll always tell you, this is the most important kina of the kinos of Tisha B'Av. Why? Because this kina was written by a Navi. It wasn't written by someone in the 15th century, not even in the 12th century. It was written by a Navi, by a Koinein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. That Yirmiyahu, he lamented, and there are expressions there. Obviously, the whole thing is not from Yirmiyahu, but many of the things that are presented in that kina are quotes either from Nach or from Chazal, who tell us what exactly Yirmiyah said. What was there with Yoshiyahu? Yoshiyahu was a Baal Teshuvah. He was Chozer B'Shuvah. He began the greatest Baal Teshuvah movement in the history of the Jewish people. He took with him the whole Klal Yisrael. They were at a state of utter ignorance, and he brought them to a very high level of Torah knowledge. In fact, he felt that he was living in the times of Moshiach. Moshiach was around the corner. And then one day he gets a message that the king, that Paro Necho, he wants to go to war against his enemy in Ashur, and he wants to pass through, he wants passage rights through Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to, peaceful, just to pass through the land in order to reach Ashur to go to war against his enemy. And Yoshiyahu says no. No, because it says in the Brachos, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz v'cherev lo'isavar bi'aretz v'afilu cherev shel shalom. Even a sword of peace, even people will not pass through the land to go to war against another country and want to use your land for as a passageway. Like we find today in the news all the time, right? You always hear about Israel trying to strike Iran. Who is going to give them permission to fly over the land? Will Saudi Arabia give them permission? Will Iraq give permission? So the rule is no. That's what you always say. Don't even think, because the answer is no. Even though we know today that still hates Saudi Arabia, you read the news, gave them permission. Says if you have an emergency, you can actually, they'll let you, you can fly over our land, and you can do whatever you need to do. But you always hear about this in the news. So there was, nothing is new. Ein chodosh tachas hashemesh. This, we had over here, this ideas of passage rites in ancient times, where Egypt wanted to pass through the land to go to war against Ashur. And Yoshiyahu said, no, we're living in special times. Everyone is a tzaddik. Yirmiyahu told Yoshiyahu, you're making a big mistake. We're not living in the times of Moshiach. The people are secretly wicked. They're worshipping idols behind closed doors. Here is where Yoshiyahu made a fatal mistake. He did not listen. He did not believe Yoshiyahu did not believe Yirmiyah, and he did not grant Paro Necho permission to pass through the land. Paro Necho said, I don't care what you have to say, I'm going anyway. He goes out to pass through the land. Yoshiyahu, he rallies his troops to meet him, to stop him, to go to war against him, and Yoshiyahu is killed. He is killed in this battle. In fact, it says that the Egyptians, they shot 300 arrows through his body. They perforated his body like a sieve. And as he was dying, he was matzdik olav es hadin. As he was dying, his last words, he recognized the reason why he's dying is because he did not listen to the words of the Navi Yirmiyah, and he did not allow Paro Necho to peacefully pass through the land. And he comes to realize that he has been misled that the Jewish people are not holding at the exalted level of holiness that he thought, and he should have indeed paid closer attention to Yirmiyahu. It was a moment, not just, oh, I made a bad mistake in business, in dealing in battle. My strategic plan was not 100% correct. It was a revelation that he's been, his whole life is a lie. Not his whole life is a lie, but he really does not fully comprehend, does not really know have a feel for what is taking place in society. You have Gedolei Yisrael, who can be misled. They don't know. They have Gedolei Yisrael who don't know what's going on. You know, when you had this very recently, with technology. Technology is where there are certain, you have a lot of write-ups about this, where there are certain the people who are, there are certain people who, who wanted to rally, to really dig deep into Klal Yisrael with regard to technology issues, internet, okay, Shmir Sinai issues. And many Gedolim were approached, and some Gedolim, it's on record, they said, by us, this is not a problem. In our community, we don't need to have an awareness program. We don't need to work with the community, because by us, it's not a problem. These are not issues. We don't have people among us.
Right.
And this is on record. They're Gedolim, Mamish Gedolim, big Gedolim. I don't want to go tell you names. And the people, the other Gedolim said, if you really think that by your community, you don't have this problem, then you that's right, you got a problem. Then you're not a leader. Then you don't have a business, you don't have any business serving as the head of your community. You're living under a rock. You don't know what's going on out there.
But they found out.
What? Unfortunately, they found out. I mean, we're going back now, 10, 15 years ago. Boy, they found out. Okay, they found out big time. They found out. And now, I don't think there's anyone in the world today that's not, anyone in the world today that's not aware that there are problems. But in the beginning, there was major denial. Major denial, and there are stories. I don't have to go tell you. You can go online, you can read all the stories about different Gedolim, and how other Gedolim said to them, boy, you don't know what's going on in your community. You think you're sheltered, you're living in a ghetto. You think your people don't have access to all what's going on in the modern world. Boy, you're really living under a rock. You don't know what's going on in your old people. That's exactly what happened to Yoshiyahu. Exactly. There's nothing new. Ein chodosh tachas Hashemesh. When Yoshiyahu was killed in battle, and he came to an awareness. What was his awareness? His awareness was, I really don't know what's going on in society. I really firmly believe my people. I was insulated, but he wasn't insulated. He was a leader. He was the one that was responsible for the teshuva of the entire Klal Yisrael. The entire Klal Yisrael was holding at a level. Was holding. They didn't even know what a Sefer Torah is. They never saw Chumash. That's the Pshuta Shol Mikra. They never saw Sefer Torah. They didn't even know the something called Chamishe Chumshe Torah. They never saw. They found the Sefer Torah. It was a novelty that the something called Chamishe Chumshe Torah. And he started from the very grassroots movement, from the very beginning, to educate and to make aware of who Klal Yisrael is. And he brought them to an exalted level in a very short time of awareness of who we are, where we come from, and who we are, what's our mission. And he really believed that he achieved incredible things, and Mashiach was knocking on the door. And Yirmiyahu said to him, Yoshiyahu, you're a good guy, you're really good, you're going to Olam Haba for what you've done, but you know, you're getting a little carried away here. The people have a long way to go. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You think you have inspectors, you think they're fooling you. He says, what are you talking about? I have inspectors, I know my people, v'chulu v'chulu. When he was dying on the battlefield, when they shot 300 arrows into his body, he came to an awareness. What was he thinking? Oh, I should have used different weapons. I should have taken a different general. I should have gone this route, not that route. My strategy, my battle plan, I should have used battle plan C instead of battle plan B. That's not what he was thinking. When he was dying on the battlefield, he was thinking, you know something? Yirmiyahu was right. He was right. I really don't know the people. I really don't know what was going on. I was arrogant in believing that I have my finger on the pulse. And to his credit, and he's a model for the whole Klal Yisrael, he said, Tzadik hu Hashem, ki pihu morisi. Hashem is the tzadik. Hashem, you're right, I made a mistake. He didn't say, I made a mistake in battle. I should have used the cannons instead of using the grenades. I should have used automatic weapons instead of using guerrilla warfare, whatever. It's not what he said. That's what he said. He said, Tzadik hu Hashem ki pihu morisi. And you know who was there to hear those words? Yirmiyahu himself. Yirmiyahu was embedded. Remember those words? It was the embedded reporters. They would embed media reporters with the military during the wars, in the modern wars, in order to take pictures of what's going on, to show that the soldiers are civil, they're humane, they observe the Geneva Convention, so they embed civilian reporters with the army. Well, that's also nothing new. Yirmiyahu was an embedded Navi. He was an embedded Navi with the military. Okay? He was there with the army, and he heard Yoshio say the word Tzadik hu Hashem ki pihu morisi. Now here, Rashi is a very fascinating pasuk. Because Rashi says we're discussing exactly that moment in time when Yoshio was killed in battle, and this for Klal Yisrael was what we called the Veisi Hashemesh Batzoharoyim. So what is the meaning of this pasuk? Let me, before we rush, I want to tell you what I had in the past an opportunity to speak on Tisha B'Av and talk with Kinnis. And what I always say, I said the wrong pshat. I said, what did I say? I said, what was the tragedy? The tragedy was the lost potential, like I started with. What's the lost potential? Chazal actually say this. Had Yoshiyahu lived, then Mashiach would have come. He died prematurely. Because of this mistake, he died prematurely. Had he lived a little bit longer, and he had been able to influence the people, indeed Mashiach would have come, and there would not have been a Churban Bayis Rishai. But he didn't. He died. And with his death, that lost potential, the potential was lost. They had no leader.
The initial reaction to a death like that is not long-term. It's tragedy right there.
Right. But they had a leader. They had a very good leader who was taking them in the right path. And with his death, that leadership came to an end. And his successors did not have that talent or that desire. And Klal Yisrael began to backslide. They went back to the olden days of worshipping idols and fighting and tzinas chinam, avodah zarah, gilui arayis, and all of these horrible things, which led 22 years later to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Menashe was king for 65 years. 55 years. And then his son for 2 years. Menashe and Amon, his son, did for Klal Yisrael irreparable harm. He destroyed the makeup of Klal Yisrael with the worst averos, and Yoshiyahu desperately tried to go backwards, to turn it around, and he did. And Chazal tell us that if he would have remained alive, he would have succeeded. But because he died prematurely, so the damage of Menashe and Amon came back. It was dominant. It came back and it overpowered all of the success of Yoshiyahu's success for the years that he was king. And so it is the potential loss. There was 22 years later, the Churban, there was a Churban, like Chazal said, that the Churban really was meant to happen on this day. With his death, Klal Yisrael was in a very great state. They were very delicate at this time. They could have been wiped out at any moment. And it was really meant to be for them to be wiped out, the Churban Bayis Rishon, to happen today, on the day when Yoshiyahu was killed in war. That was meant to be. But what happened? It was some saving grace. They mourned, Klal Yisrael, to their credit, they eulogized, and they sincerely mourned over the death of Yoshiyahu with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. which means it was a Yiddish atam. The funeral had a Yiddish atam. It was a Jewish mourning. Eishes Chayil. What do you mean? They didn't say Eishes Chayil for Yoshio. Eishes Chayil is not for Yoshio. That was for Sarah. Eishes Chayil. What? No. I don't think so. I don't know. They mourn for Yosef Chazal. So the 22 letters. How many letters are there in the Aleph Beis? 22. How many years later did Hashem suspend the Churban Bayis Rishon? 22 years. Because they had a real sincere appreciation to mourn and eulogize over a holy tzaddik. You know, I go to a funerals. I went recently to a funeral of a very good, very holy person. Not joking. My parents used to always talk about this person, and he died very recently, and I could not believe it. They made a joke at the funeral. They made a joke. Okay, now I'm used to hearing jokes at funerals all the time. I even make jokes if I speak. I'll also make a joke because I'm not from this. You know, I'm not from this Haredi crowd, but I have an appreciation. I grew up in a Haredi world. You don't make jokes by Gedolei Yisrael. By the Goyim, it's called the celebration of God. There's other things, the funeral anymore. By a Goy. A Goy, you have a funeral? What kind of funeral have a Goy? You celebrate his life. And that attitude, without question, has penetrated Orthodox Jewry. Without question. Especially a person who dies at an old age. Someone dies 90 years old. So you don't see people crying very much at the funeral, right? And they come to celebrate his life. I mean, once went to Levaya, and there was a very, very fine Orthodox rabbi, very good, a holy person. And he said, this person, he dressed very well in his life. He always dressed very meticulous, always dressed with a tie, you know, nice and tight. And he wore a nice hat. That was one of the things everyone remembered him. So the rabbi said, I'm sure that this fellow, he's going to go in front of the Kisei HaKavod dressed perfectly with his suit and his tie and his hat. And Mivakesh Rachamim. Everyone was laughing. I was very surprised. Like this is definitely the influence of the Goyish world. By Chazal, in the Jewish world, there's no such thing as making a joke by a funeral. No such thing. You don't laugh by a funeral. Maybe by the Shloshim, you could laugh. By Yartzeit Suda, but by a Levaya, you don't laugh. You don't make jokes. Nothing. Not even a little joke. Nothing of nothing. Now, today, that's not the way it is anymore. Today, it's, but you'd expect by certain people, Gedolei Yisrael, you'd expect... At least there are no jokes. Even there! I was like shocked. This person you can say is in the category, like a league, a different league. So it says here that they eulogized, they appreciated his death with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. You know what that means to me? It means there were no jokes. It means they really took it to heart. They really took to heart that his death has left a void, and there was something, Hashem, it wasn't just, oh, he died of old age, new, what else is new? Let's get on with life, let's get out of here already. It meant something. It made an impact upon the people. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took note of, and in reward, Hashem extended the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Rishon, by 22 years. That's amazing. 22 more years of Kedusha in this world of the Bayis Rishon, we have no clue to how that has helped us survive until this day. Another 22 years where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence was on this world, channeling Kedushin to this world, we have no clue what life would be like today had we not had those additional 22 years. And why? Because they had an appreciation of who Yoshiyahu was. Now, I always thought that this death, the horror of his death was the way I just explained, the loss of potential. Mashiach could have come. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi is telling us that the death of Yoshiyahu was a shock. It's a whole different vart. It's a whole different perspective. The pain of Yoshiyahu's death by Paro Necho was shock. They couldn't believe this could happen. How could this, such thing like this happen? The days Yashemish Bat Saharayim, Kishihelechem Shalom Godel, there'll be great peace. Right? That was the time there was such great peace that Yoshiyahu had the chutzpah to say to Yirmiyahu, what are you talking about? We're living in the times of Mashiach. I'm not letting this chaleria, paro necho, come pass through our land and make trouble. What are you talking about? It's peace. And what happened? Tovoy lohem mapola pisoim. The Amar Rabbeinu zeyoy ma'ishel Yoshiyahu. This is the day of Yoshiyahu. Notice how Chazal talk about death. This expression in and of itself is worth discussing. Yoimai, his day. You know, everyone has their day. You always say everyone has their day in the sun. You don't think of your Yomo to be the day of death. And maybe you do. Maybe you say they say by a funeral, we're here to give kovoid acharoid. Right? Kovoid acharoid. I once heard someone say, don't give me kovoid acharon when you never gave me kovoid rishon. I'm not interested in hespedim. There are no hespedim. You only because hespedim is called the kovoid acharon. You give a hesped when it's kovoid rishon. If in my lifetime you had no appreciation for me, you couldn't care less about me. I'm moichalol v'hespedim. I don't want to hear hespedim about me. So here it's called yoimoy. His big day in the sun. This was called a tragic day. It was a shock. It was a shock. People cannot believe he would die. He made a mistake. No, he made a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes. The Navi told you the one thing, so he made a mistake. He's going to die? His army will be defeated. He, the king himself, he killed in battle? People were baffled. That shock was damaging. It was a damage to the Hashkenazim. Think about it. When things happen like this, it's a very big challenge to Emuna. Shock. It's very hard to deal. How could something happen suddenly? Every time, Rachmana Lislan, you have tzaddik viraloi. It's a challenge to a person's Emuna. But when the tzaddik viraloi is done, it's done in an instant, that's really challenging. And this was something which the whole Klal Yisrael was shaken up. It was a very big sign for Klal Yisrael. And to Chazal give Klal Yisrael credit that they dealt with it in a responsible way. They didn't just give everything up instantly. They eulogized. They dealt with it in a very respectful way. Shenes b'cherev shel shalom. K'mo shomer v'seinu ein l'cherev shel shalom yoytze miparo necho. There was no greater cherev shel shalom paro necho. By the way, he was called Paro Necho. Why was called Paro Necho? He was lame. He was a cripple, paraplegic. He was from the legs down. The whole word Necho called Nechei Raglayim. Nechei Raglayim means that his feet don't move, and he was a cripple, and yet he was still the king. And he went out, and he wanted to pass. He was calling the shots, like the mafiosos in prison. They're running the world there behind bars. They're running the world there. They're who knows what they're doing over there? They have all their connections, a web of connections out there. So he was, even though he was a cripple, he was running the world. This is out of the kinos. What is there between me and you? I have nothing against you today. I'm not coming to wage war against you. What do you want from me? I'm not going to do any harm to you. I just need to pass through your land to reach Carchemish. I want to go and fight a battle in Ashur. I have nothing keen la'avar derech artzecha el beis milchamti. And he said, no, I don't want you passing through my land. I don't want you checking out what's going on over here. So he died suddenly, and the sudden death, Rashi says, the tragedy was pisai. Hashemesh, Rashi is very homiletic here. Hashemesh is the Malchus Beis David. Nimshla Kashemesh. Kshenemar v'kisoy his throne. Kashemesh negdi. The word I always like to tell you, the word kisei, it only means a in Chazal means a seat of honor. You don't use the word kisei for a regular chair. A regular chair is called a safsal, or it's called a moishav. It's not called a kisei. A kisei in Chazal, you'll see, study means one thing only, a throne. So when you go to the bathroom, what is it called? The des hakisei. What do people think it means? It means the toilet. And we're calling the toilet a kisei. There is no greater bizoyon and misunderstanding than to call a beis hakisei, because you think that the toilet is called a kisei. A kisei means a throne. The toilet is a safsol with a hole in it. Or it's called a moishav that has a hole. There is no way in the world you can say about a toilet, even the most expensive toilet, you go online and you find a toilet for $25, plated in gold, with ultra-high tech gadgets that you've never in your life thought even possible in this world. It is not called a kisei. You don't call a toilet a kisei, even if it costs $100,000. So what is a toilet is called? A safsal. Or it's called a, I told you, a moshav. Why then do we call the room, the chamber, a beis hakisei? The answer is, this is the room which enables us or triggers the requirement to recite a bracha that makes mention of Hashem's kisei hakavod. Golui v'yodua lifnei kisei chivodecha. The word kisei in Chazal, in Tanakh, only means a throne, not an ordinary chair or couch or bed. It's a mita, safsal, a moishav. Nowhere. Only it always means in Tanakh in a throne. It is the room which triggers the requirement to recite a blessing, which we mention the kisei hakavod. Golui v'yodua lifnei kisei chivodecha. Here Rashi says it. Hashemesh, the Malchus, Beis David Nimshuk, Hashemesh, Shenemar, V'chiso, the throne of David, Kashemesh, Negdi. Now notice, we always associate Malchus, David, with the moon. Did you say Kiddush Levana yet?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
David, Melech, Yisrael, Chai, V'kayam. All over, the moon wanes and waxes, the moon is humble, it reflects the light of the sun. Everything about Klal Yisrael is the moon, all of the milos, the mor hakatan, everything about the moon is the malchus of Klal Yisrael is the malchusa, the ada is ke'ein malchusa d'rokia. It's just a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the or. Yet it's important to note that it's really both. Mitzad Echad, we focus primarily, that's the moon, but it's also in the pasuk called the Shemesh. Okay, it's both. There are different dimensions. There are different dimensions to the Malchus of David. Here it says, V'chisei kashemesh negdi, it's a pasuk. You can't deny the fact that it's a pasuk, that the Malchus of David is called the Shemesh. But it's also referred to as the moon. And in fact, the average person will tell you it's only the moon. It has nothing to do with the sun. You can't say that. It's a pasuk that says that the Malchus of David is the sun. It's a pasuk. V'chisoi kashemesh negdi. As Hashem says in this pasuk as well, the Shemesh is going to set suddenly. Who would have imagined? Yoshiyahu, v'yikaydin yirmiyah Yoshiyahu, that Yoshiyahu would die, the Malchus would come to an end suddenly. That's what happened. Who took over the Malchus? Who took over the Malchus? His grandson, then his sons. I forgot about the three kings that came out. I can't believe I'm forgetting all this. So, but the Malchus already at that point already was over. That was the beginning of the end. The end. Next. K'inyan Shenema v'chol Yehuda v'Yushalayim mis'ablim al Yoshio. The Gans Klal Yisrael, they were mis'ablim al Yoshio. They realized it was the end. V'chol Shivechem l'kina. That's exactly Tisha B'Av. You see that? You understand now? We always say kinos. You see why we call kinos. When he died, Yoshio died, that was the end. The beginning of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It should have happened right then and there. Hashem Rachmanis waited 22 years, and that's what we do on Tisha B'Av. We mourn, we say kinos to mourn for really the death of Yoshio, which was the end. It was just, you know, everything else all downhill from there on. Kenyan Shenemar, Vayoimu Kol HaShorim VeHasharois. All of the shorim means the singers. So the male singers and the female singers. Could you imagine ancient times there was females who sang? The Sharim is Lashon Zohar, and the Sharois means the female singers. It doesn't mean they sang songs here. It means Bikinoi Sehem, they would sing elegies. Ha Kolisha, how are you able to have a woman sing? Well, right here it says Blashon Rabin. If it's not solo, it's mutter. You know the age-old question, are you allowed to go? Today you don't, right, in the Koinonos. So here it says the Sharois also. The Sharois means the singers. Because it's the old question, they don't even hear the Shalom. But years ago, when we were children, we all thought, oh, can you go to a concert and there are women singing? Today it doesn't exist. We live in a very extreme right-wing world. So you don't even have a Shaila. But it used to be not so uncommon. You want to go to a girl's graduation. Right, and it used to be, I remember my sister's girl, it used to be that parents would go, it was Pashat. Of course parents go to the graduation of their daughters. I'm sure all of you here went to your daughter's graduation, right?
No.
What?
They go out when
anyone in this room who has a daughter, I have no doubt in my mind, you went to their high school graduation. Of course they'll mention. Guess what, Rabbi Isai? If you had a daughter today, in 12th grade, living in Flatbush, you wouldn't go. It's not for the men. It's only for the women. I don't know. I shouldn't say that 100%. I take that back. But it's in some schools. In some schools. Why? Why? I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I do remember, Yishan, I do remember. I went to my sister's graduation. Okay? I was in high school then. And all these 12th graders, you know, all these pretty girls. You know, it's not so similar to a high school boy. A yeshiva high school boy to go to a 12th grade graduation of a, you know, interesting.
Did you wear a black hat?
What?
Did
I wear a black hat? I have no recollection. I have no recollection, but I went to the graduation. I don't have any memories of the graduation. One thing I remember, there was an elderly man there, and he was very yeshivish. He had a beard, and he had a black hat, I remember. And I remember him saying to me, like, he was shocked. And he was like, to me, in my mind, he was like 90 years old. I don't know. I can't tell you. I remember he gave me Musar. He gave me Musar. And he said to me, it's Bittul Torah. What are you doing here? What are you doing here at this graduation? It's Bittul Torah. I remember that. I was like, a little shake it up. You know, it's very timid, very shy, very different type of person in those days. What? He obviously he knew he was a failing man. It was a different time, but today that attitude Yishnu has won over. I don't. Maybe I'm making a mistake. To some degree, I know what I'm saying is true. Maybe there are some, but now what do they do at these graduations, Rabbi Yisrael? What do? They sing. The girls sing. They put on their performances. That's right, the girls. Not by the boys, they have performances. They sing, they play musical instruments, they have all this and that. So it's a Shiloh. All of the parents are there. So for your own daughter, you can do whatever you want, but these are not your own daughters. So what is the heter? This is a heter from time immemorial, as long as there are no solos. It is only forbidden to hear live music from a woman, a woman singing live, only when a woman sings solo. But when the women sing as a group, it's permitted. And from a time immemorial, all of these religious schools, they had beautiful graduations, elementary school and high school, where the girls would perform. There would be a performance, choirs, and the girls and all the men would be there. And it's not a halachic issue. How could it not be a halachic issue? Kol isha, kol bi isha erva. It's forbidden. And the answer is only a kol yochid, a solo. Not choir. It's a Beferish Pasuk. The Pasuk we just read, the Sharim v'Hasharois. The male singers and the female singers. B'Lashon Rabin. More than one. So this, what it says in the Pasuk, and obviously this was done, it was commonly done by funerals. Funerals, women have the ability, to arouse emotion better, more so than men. Okay, these were professionals, people who knew how funerals used to be. I told you this before. My mother used to tell me, my grandmother, she would tell my mother that, you don't understand, in Europe, and she was a child, it was a big thing. A funeral, when they say you go to a funeral, you go to this kavod acharayim, that meant something. a funeral was really what was a performance. It was a performance by the people who would sing. Okay, the kelmoling was, you know, it was a big deal. Today, the average people, you go to kelmoling, they just mumble it all the time. And the people, they would be professional mekoinen, people that would wail. And the eulogy, they were masterpieces. People, Rabbanim, it's not a joke, would prepare their whole life. From the time they became a Rav, they would start taking notes about their Baal HaBatim and start writing secretly their eulogies. It's a fact. A young rabbi becomes a Rav. He knows the Baal HaBatim there are 20, 30 years older than him. He knows the time will come when we'll have to eulogize them. And when you eulogize a person, the whole town comes, the whole world comes. And it's a big deal. And they would take notes secretly. And the skills were when the rabbi was either fired or left town, and they found in his drawer all of the hespedim ready to go for the Leviah, like all the newspapers do, right? The newspapers, the New York Times, they have a file on every celebrity, every public figure. They have an obituary ready to go.
Yes.
And sometimes they make a mistake. They publish it prematurely. Right? They did that. It happens. The guy in person is sick. So they thought by the time they go to press,
yes,
right? By the next morning, it goes to press. The guy will already be dead, and they publish it, and then the guy rallies. He's still alive.
Right.
He's still alive. So they're very embarrassed. It was a big deal. I told my grandfather, he once came back from a very, very big brothel. He came back from a very hush person. I remember he came back and told my mother, he came back and told my mother, it wasn't kedai to die for such hespedim. You would think, you know, if you get a good hespedim, it's kedai to die. It wasn't kedai to die for such. I say this at every Levi I go to. I went to a Levi very recently, and I came back and I said this to the fellow in the shul. Oh, you went to Levi with Levi? Yeah, tell me. So I said to him, it wasn't kedai to die for such a spaden. And he looks at me like, what? What did you just say? He gives me this look. What did you just say? You don't understand. So this is something which is okay. This is a Rashi. So Rashi over here says this is Rashi over here says Vayomru Chol Hashem Keevil Yachid Kaav Shemisabel Al Ben Yachid, like we said before. Okay, we have to stop over here. Atem Adzekim Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. One more. Sign of Burari.
Mario
Burari. Today is your time. He would have been the Lubavitch Rebbe. He was the one who would have been the Lubavitch Rebbe? Wow. Today is your time.
Also, because when I'm walking home from school, my mind.